Well, well, well. Well, well, well. Well, 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 well. Well, well, well. I say the same thing myself every day. Same thing myself. I say, what's going on with this here? Say the same thing myself every day. Same thing myself. I say, what's going on with this here? That bank is a serial killer, trying to build more prisons for your children. That doctor's a drug dealer, gotta make a profit, gotta make a killing. Everything go to the highest bidder. Everything go to the highest bidder. Everything go to the highest bidder. Everything go to the highest bidder now. I figured the same way that you do every day, the same way that you do. I say, what's going on with this here? I figured the same way that you do every day, the same way that you do. I say, what's going on with this here? Technology feeds the spiritual dead, fantasies that live inside your head. Come on, say,
where now you can't go, where now you can't go, where now you can't go home no more. Everything go to the highest bidder. Everything go to the highest bidder. Everything go to the highest bidder. Everything go to the highest bidder now.
Highest bidder, everything go to the highest bidder. Everything go to the highest bidder. Everything go
to the highest bidder now.
Doctor, drug dealer, faith healer. Everything go to the highest bidder. Everything go to the highest bidder. Everything go to the highest bidder. Everything go
to the highest bidder now.
This is 88.5 Fantastic Negrito. Check out Oh Betty. It's a song I wrote about my seventh generation interracial grandparents' forbidden illegal union in the mid 1700s. They made it happen in Virginia.
Grandpa, where are you going? Nah.
Grieving, and them years keep passing me by, but I keep believing, 'cause you're the only thing that matters. Oh, Betty, what them days keep passing me by, but I keep on dreaming, one day we'll be together. Well, my sweet, sweet Betty, I can feel your body talking to me sweetly. You're the only dream I dream of. Hear them sweet songs you're singing. I can hear them sweet songs you're singing. can hear them song. Oh, Betty, it's late in the evening, staring through your window pane. It ain't believing, but it's the only thing I do. Well, my sweet, sweet Betty, I can hear you laugh and cry. Your tears, they clean me. You're the only thing that feeds me. Ooh, my Betty, you'll be free in 7 years while I'm still bleeding. I wonder if you'll ever need me. Hear that sweet song just singing. I can hear that sweet song just singing.
Fantastic Negrito, and I'm on 88.5 here. We're about to do a song called They Go Low.
Somebody save us. Somebody save us. Somebody save us. I seen a dead man walking. It was something that I seen before. There's a song he was singing about a life that he wanted to live. But I was never superstitious. Walk on the ladders leaning on the wall. But I could see he would crash, burn and fall. They go low, 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 low. They go low. They break you down. They go low, 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 low. They go low, low, low. They go low, low, low. Till they break you down. I seen a little boy soldier with tattoos all over his face, a gangbanger's dream mascot. I'm too old, so I couldn't relate. There's a song he was singing about his mama, she was digging his grave. With cracked dry hands, screaming Jesus' name. They go low, they go low, low, low. They go low, low, low. They go low. Break you down. They go low. They go low, low, low. They go low, low, low. let you down. Somebody save us. Somebody save us. Somebody save us now. The Elvis Presley of the ghetto. Big chicken and a side of greens. He sat staring out the window, pointing fingers at the devil's scene. But some were just his own reflection. He knew the storm was coming soon. That evening he was found dead in his room. They go low, 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 low. Low, low, low. They go low, low, low. Till they break you down. They go low, 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 low. They go low, low, low. They go low, low, low. Till they break you down. Till they break you down. Yeah. Break you down.
You're watching another 88.5 Live here at South by Southwest. My name is Byron Gonzalez. I am your correspondent during the festival. And today I am joined by multi-Grammy award-winning musician, singer-songwriter, just an overall person of the world. We got fantastic Negrito right here right beside me. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Super bien. Muchas gracias por hacer esto.
Gracias de nada, mi amigo. Poquito hablo español, vivo en Oakland, California, muchos años. ¿Qué pasó, amigo?
There we go. That's really good.
Now.
That's really good. We were talking about it earlier.
I know some other stuff, but we can't say that here. We'll unrated. Hang out later and say it.
Yeah, we'll do the unrated version of 88.5 Live at night. Yeah. Well, thank you again for performing these awesome songs. You perform your singles. It was Oh Betty.
And Highest Bidder.
Highest Bidder. And you did an exclusive for us.
I did an exclusive. You know, you guys have always shown me a lot of love and support, so I wanted to give you the exclusive to They Go Low. Never heard before by a soul. Not a soul.
It's about to be released soon in May. So I'm really excited to hear the full production. We heard the stripped-down version. Appreciate that, man.
Thank you.
It really
like
means a lot.
Down. Well, thanks. I like to strip stuff down.
Thank you.
Yeah, hang around me long enough, you'll see that I strip a lot of things down. Strip them down.
I love it. I love it. This next one is not really so much a question, but you can also comment on it. I love your lyrics. They're always thought-provoking, and I appreciate that a lot in an artist because I think, as we were saying before, you got to wake some people up sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, the first person I want to wake up is myself, you know, because that's the person I have the most control out of. So if I can get myself on a you know, a super conscious level when I'm recording. I mean, when you're in the studio, that's probably your most honest moment is you in that studio, you know, facing the machines. And I think everything else is a little bit of posturing and, you know, rehearsal. But I love really getting honest in the studio because it's the best place. And if you can make it happen there, then people may feel what you're talking about, but I feel like that's the only honest moment. The rest is all performance,
really?
And bravado, and yeah.
Okay.
Look at me, you know, my solo.
But I think there's also some honesty in naming the songs as well, and naming the album. Your new album is going to be called White Jesus, Black Problems. That already,
yes.
You know, so many things go in my head.
Tell me a few of them.
It's a where do I start, you know,
yeah.
As someone, a person of color, like,
yeah.
Where do we start with that, you know what
because
I mean?
I think for us it means a lot of, first of all, it has nothing to do with Jesus, but it has something to do with, like, this construct, this
exactly.
False construct, yeah. You know, that we see it, I see it in South America, I see it in Africa, I see it in the United States, and it destroys people, literally, and it's not a coincidence that, especially for African Americans, we're being 13.5% of the population, but most of us incarcerated when we get down to percentage and statistics.
Yeah.
So that has a lot to do with it. You know, yeah. There's some. The album is basically about how my seventh generation grandparents challenged the edifice of white supremacy, and
that's
they
amazing.
Did it basically by falling in love with each other. My grandmother was a white Scottish indentured servant.
Wow.
And my grandfather was an enslaved African. So this was in the 1700s. I actually found this story.
How did you find it? That seems like very, very deep digging.
Well, it all started with E-40.
E-40,
all good things
the
start with
E-40. Artist?
All good things
what?
Start with E. Yeah. Come on now. So me and E-40, we did a song together. And the song got licensed in a show called Black Lightning, which is a popular show, real popular with the kids. So I was there in Atlanta, no vaccine, unvaccinated, traveling with triple masks on, but it was a gig. I was broke. I needed to feed my family. It was like, so I needed a gig.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going to do that shit, you know? So I went. I performed a song, but I was in the hotel. I had all this time on my hands. They were like, do not leave the hotel.
Oh.
They come and they test you every day. During the pandemic, so I started deep diving on the internet, and I went through my family tree on my mother's side, and I saw these African-Americans dressed very, you know, so
wow.
well, dignity and dignified. I looked at the year, and it was the time of slavery. So I'm like, where'd y'all get them clothes from? How is this that during the time of slavery, you're my ancestors, you're black,
right,
and you're dressed in some of the finest clothing, and you have your photograph? So as I dug deeper, found the census papers that said free Negroes. And I was like, a little bit shocked.
I mean, when you look back that back in the history, shock is
normal. Well, we're taught a narrative. There's a narrative in this country. It's like, you're the victim. You pick the fruit. I'm going to be the perpetrator. You go to the universities. You know what I mean? And we fall victim to this narrative. So I'm digging deep and I find census and documents. I didn't. Going through all these documents. Then I go to the fourth generation, which is rare for black folks. We don't usually go that far.
Not documenting-wise?
Well, just that, you know, we got here under some precarious circumstances.
I getcha.
So, because on my mother's paternal side, I can only go back to my great-great-great-grandfather. So anyway, fourth generation free, fifth generation free, sixth generation's free. So I start feeling...
Wow.
I'm starting to feel weird now. I'm like walking around, I'm pacing. I'm like, damn, man, I talked a lot of shit to these white people, and now I have some free blood. I mean, I honestly thought that. I felt a little like almost guilty, like, damn, I kind of had some privilege there. You know,
They
had free black people. And I Googled in Virginia, there was 50,000 free black people in Virginia during that time. Who gets taught that in school?
No.
And I think there's a problem there, because if you keep telling somebody you're down here, you're a victim, sorry, buddy, you know, you need some extra help getting on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people start to carry that in their head. And our kids carry it, and then we're just playing, and we're in this play that somebody wrote. Somebody's repressed fantasy of the world and of race and of culture. So I think it's important to get it out there.
Yeah.
So I get to this sixth generation. Seventh generation. And I was like, yes. There's only one woman there, so now I'm back, white people. You probably raped my grandmother. She had these kids. You set them free, right? Roll the dice. Wrong. She's white. So then I'm like,
how
could that be? I kept reading it over and over again. I'm like, wait, 1700s, white woman, black man. Black man, they say unnamed Negro slave. The document said 1759, Elizabeth Gallimore, my seventh generation grandmother, is presented in Amelia County Court for unlawfully cohabitating with a Negro slave belonging to Henry Jones. I must have read it over 60 times. I got up in the middle of the night and looked at it. Again, it was just, I never expected to find something like that. But then I understood myself a lot reading that. I was like, wow, that really, now I know why I'm wearing these pants.
Oh.
I'm like, I came from people who were irreverent. They were not going to be, how would we say it, like just boxed into this world that people created for them. They were like, well, I fell in love with somebody. That's how I challenge your white supremacy. I'm I fall in love with a human being.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that kicked off six generations of free black people in our family.
As cliche as it sounds, right? Love kind of conquers all sometimes, or it's a big sign of protest at most times too.
Well, that's some punk rock shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, people talk about being progressive. That is progressive. I mean, that choice could have got you killed. And that's where Highest Bidder came from, because I started off with that song because I'm like, wow, everything really goes to the highest bidder. You're, okay, you made kids with this enslaved person. We're going to get something out of this. So the kids couldn't be enslaved because of the status of the woman.
Oh, yeah. Because
she's an indentured servant. So they got 7 years out of the kids. But then we were free after that. Wow. So I was like, wow, is it really money? Like, we're looking at, you know, the construct of race again. We're like, we bang our heads up against, okay, race. Okay, I'm black over here. You're white over there. You're Latino in here. I got my signs over here. They got your slogans. You ready? 1, 2, 3, go. And it's like we go in this circle. But I don't know if we're resolving anything. And I think, like, if my grandparents, an interracial couple, an illegal union, in the mid-1700s, could make it, why can't we make it?
I think their
challenges were much more severe than the challenges that we faced.
Yeah, like thinking back.
We're
like babies compared to that. Yeah.
So I felt them tapping me like, okay, go, grandson, go.
So after finding that out, listening to your lyrics right now, was it like just flowing out of you?
It was flowing. It was just like I was a conduit for them. They're like, please tell our story. People need to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, we get silenced a lot, and you're just creating, with this album, it seems like you're just creating another history book to be told and taught, and you know, it's like lessons outside of the classroom type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, and I don't want to give myself that much credit. I don't think I'm even creating it. What I'm doing is I'm reading the document that's right there. I made this album based on a document I found. That's it.
That's crazy.
So the history's there. It's just that we're not taught the history.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I think in society, everyone is taught like this narrative. And we just go along, we play along. And so we get so bogged down in our own ideology and our own dogma. And we're just kind of screaming at each other. And we don't get anywhere.
Wow. Well, you definitely are trying to say a lot with this album, not only the title. And I also read that you're making a film to just add on to what you're creating. That, to me, is mind-blowing, too. You're making an album that's a big feat in itself.
It's a big feat.
And then partnering it up with a film.
Well, you know what? I was...
What is your team saying? Like, stop giving us so much work.
I don't know what they're saying.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. They're getting a lot of content. I think everybody's happy with the content. You know, it was a pandemic. We had time. I kept looking at it. I thought, man, I need to make a movie, but I'd never made a movie. I didn't know any actors. Oh, so I asked my drummer, James Small. Well, he's a drummer. I don't want to say he's my drummer. He is the drummer.
No. The drummer.
Yeah, James Small. I was like, man, you look tall and big and strong and handsome. I didn't know he was that handsome, actually. I just said big and tall. And strong. So you could play my grandfather. And he's like, I've done some theater. So I think I asked him at rehearsal like about 5 times. But James is soft-spoken. So he's like, yeah, let's do it. So you don't know. Like, I'm like, does he really want to do it? Yeah, okay, cool. Just let me know. So he happened to have a very pretty Scottish-looking girlfriend. I'm like, hey, she ever done a movie? And she's like, no. You want to play my grandmother?
He's got the whole family in there, huh?
She's like, I guess, you know. James, is this okay? And so I started like enlisting my neighbors and my accountant.
Wow.
My accountant. I was like, hey, you could be in my movie. So it was weird for a while. People like see me coming. They were walking the other way. I got my neighbor had to play Henry Jones, like the overseer. He's like such a teddy bear, a nice guy. And I'm like, you got to be mean and shit.
Oh, no.
Put the chains on James. He's like, no, please. But damn. I think everybody in the end, they thought they wanted to be part of it because it feels like a time where we can maybe take a step, a baby step, and tell a story that's powerful and positive, and nobody's getting blamed for a change.
Yeah,
we're not blaming anybody, and I think that's powerful.
Yes.
When you can stop blaming people, you can start moving forward in everything.
Yeah.
In everything.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, because you're just adding on to this like amazing like movement to tell black stories lately and just helping people realize that, yeah, a lot of stories do get silenced along the way. And with all the climate going on right now where people are still trying to push back on telling people of color stories from people of color, which is still insane to me. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I feel like people can only do what you let them do.
Yeah.
I'm a strong believer in that, man. My dad was born in 1905, and my grandmothers, they were strong people. They're like, hey, you know, you can do anything we want to do.
That's amazing.
It's up to us. And so, you know, we got the microphone, we got the platform. It's up to us.
Yeah.
Don't ever let anybody tell your story. I don't care who they are. That's your story. It's my story. It's his story. Her story. We're all unique.
Yeah.
And we have a story, and it's important because there are lessons in stories. You go back in history, all we're doing is reading stories. This happened, and this, and Genghis Khan did what? Oh, my God. Yeah. No, that's terrible. You know,
well,
it's history, you know, stories. I mean,
that's before entertainment, before even writing books. It was all oral stories,
oral
right?
Oral stories, totally.
Which is like what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Telling a story, whether it's even talking about your album or talking about your grandparents, everything's a story.
Well, and all, you know, folklore, folk art, every culture, it's just stories.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So just to be a little bit more clear maybe for the audience, so you're telling me there's actors in this, so it's a full phone, like a feature film, no documentary, or is it like half a documentary, half a feature film?
I don't really know what it is. It's like letting me cook, which can be beautiful or it could be a disaster.
It's a concoction.
So that's it. That's the spectrum, y'all. Nothing in between. But it's, I call it, what I've learned from people is that it's a visual album. I didn't know that term. It's a visual album, and there are interstitials after the songs that are telling the story. I'm kind of narrating it.
Oh, interesting.
I'm the narrator. I'm telling the story of Elizabeth Betty Gallimore. And grandfather, I gave him a name. I call him Grandfather Courage because the document says, man, you know, unnamed slave. And I'm like, that ain't cool. So just give him a name.
Courage.
Grandfather Courage. So it's 40 minutes. So I don't know what that qualifies as. I think it's feels like a movie to me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But visual album is technically the term.
Yeah.
Visual album movie.
White Jesus, Black Problems, the visual album movie. That's the title.
There you go. An American story.
An American Because
in the
story.
End, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I got my DNA results back, and I'm like, okay, 70% African. Yeah. Then I was like, 27% European. Like,
there you
how?
Go. It's your great, 70 I'm like, great
that's
grandma.
Well, it's not even her. It's a lot of,
oh, even before
a lot
then,
of messing around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's, I look at things, looking at the world differently. Like, man, really? Never saw that one coming. So it's interesting and it's something powerful and constructive that, you know, I feel like you can walk out of the room with in your hand. It's a tool. We can go out there and face the world, look at the world differently.
Well, not even walk out of the room, kind of carry it with your whole life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It changed the way that I view things.
And I'm sure people of color are going to see it that way too, because, you know, there's still things that I'm learning now. I'm 30.
My 30s.
And then I'm
Have you done your DNA?
No.
You need to do it.
It's going
to
be weird.
You should do it.
I hope I'm 100% Guatemalan, you know. But who knows?
Well, Guatemalan,
you know?
I mean, that's a...
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Chinese people in Guatemala,
Chinese,
too.
Chinese, native, Spanish, there's a lot of...
Yeah.
I mean, even just Mexican, Guatemala, all these things they're made up.
Yeah.
And they're just people that all mixed.
Yeah, it's true. It's
like African Americans, we are people that just mix. Find one African American that's 100%
And we were different distance from the sun, so we got different colors and stuff.
Absolutely, different climates.
Yeah.
Evolution, man. One
crazy,
thing
that
human beings, you know, we're these organisms, we like to rub up against each other. And I think when you tell us not to, like my grandmother, she's, you know, I think she's like working inside, you know, the indentured servant. She looked out the field and grandpa was in shape or something. I don't know. Looking like a melting chocolate bar in the sun.
That's great.
Was like, yummy.
That's great.
And here I am, a result of these amazing people.
There you go. Just looking just as fine, man. Just looking fine.
Looking fine, feeling fine.
A little bit more about the album, and I'm sure it's complete by now. Is there a song you're most excited to play live?
It's not fair. It's like these songs are like my kids.
Yeah.
It's not really...
Or maybe...
I don't know. What do I love playing live? I mean, I kind of love playing Virginia Soil live because it feels so uplifting and so optimistic. And it's the exact story of my grandparents meeting and making it through it.
Okay. So that's like the pinnacle of this timeline.
That's the last song on the album, Virginia Soil. And it's, and I'm a Virginian, man. I mean, I'm from California, but I go back to the Revolutionary War. I saw, you know, the pensions and all that. Yeah. I mean, I'm from Virginia.
Oh, wow.
So I like playing Virginia Soul Live. It's just very light, feels fun and optimistic. I love optimism.
That's beautiful. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's all we got to look for sometimes. Yeah.
I'm very optimistic, despite what people say.
That's great.
Like, and white, Jesus, black problems. I was that it's a love story.
Listen to the song.
It's a love story. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's the truth. It's the truth.
That's amazing. Well, Fantastic Negrito. I feel like we could talk for hours, but you know.
Hours.
Yes. But thank you so much again for talking with 88.5 today. You know, we're big supporters of you.
Absolutely. And I thank you very much. And all the listeners out there, hope to see you soon somewhere live.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.